Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Rockets win last night over the Jazz 116-111. The other bit of Rocket, and by the way, I don't want to minimize that. Great win by the Rockets last night. Did you see Chandler Parsons retired officially earlier this week, Seth? Chandler
Parsons. I saw that. Yeah, it's frankly, I was vaguely aware that he was still in the league, but I had lost track. You know, once he went off to Memphis and got yet another knee injury, I never felt good about the fact that I didn't feel bad about his injuries. Chandler Parsons is a guy who was extremely well liked by everybody in Houston. People were upset that Daryl Morey traded him away let him go when they were trying to save room to sign Chris Bosh. It didn't work out. You know, Morey whiffed on that, but for the most part, we understood why. So it was unfortunate that Chandler Parsons was allowed to leave. But then he had to start talking smack about the city of Houston.
He did.
He couldn't keep his mouth shut. And he didn't just talk smack about the Rockets. He talked specifically about the city of Houston.
Yeah, it was disappointing. Do we have that audio?
Yeah, this was him when asked to comment on the difference between Dallas and Houston.
It's cleaner here.
Is it?
So much, you know, it's just like a nicer, cleaner city, you know, Houston. In downtown, there's not much to do as far as businesses. It's just kind of dirty.
Gotcha. Yeah. Cool. Thanks a lot, man. Wow.
Just kind of dirty.
It's nicer and cleaner than Houston. So Chandler Parsons in that cut, which, mind you, is a few years old, but damn it, he retired, so let's repurpose it. He basically called us a bunch of grimy, slimy, dirty people.
He did.
That's what I heard.
I heard a lot. I read a lot into those comments, Sean.
I felt like maybe
above and beyond the cleanliness of the streets. He was talking about more than whatever he considers clean.
This is yet another example of the message that you put out there to the kids earlier in the show that, hey, kids, when you leave an organization, when you leave a city, when you leave a company, even if you are asked to leave and you feel it's wrong that you were asked to leave, do not burn bridges on the way out the door. Especially when you're in your mid-20s. Like, it's one thing for you to be 72 years old and you're burning bridges out the door. You know, you're on the 18th fairway at that point. And sorry, all you 72-year-olds who are going to think you'll live till you're 105. Maybe you will. But I'm just telling you, when you're older, you know, and you want to burn a bridge, you know, by all means, pull out the kerosene, I guess. But when you're 25 or whatever, like Charles Omenihu and Chandler Parsons, dude, had the weirdest career arc of any NBA player ever. The more money he made, the more injured and worse at basketball he got. It's undeniable his best 3 years as a basketball player were the 3 years that he played for the Houston Rockets, where he averaged 9 points, 16 points, and 17 points a game. He played 29, 36, and 38 minutes a game, and he made a grand total of about $2.5 million over 3 years. He was a really good player for the Rockets. Not good
enough. Glue guy, Sean.
He was a glue guy. He was a glue guy. And he would have stayed here on a big deal if they could have lured Chris Bosh here. Like, the whole world changes if they got Chris Bosh that offseason.
Yeah, Morey was trying to get Chris Bosh. They had to keep space open to pull that off. In the interim, Chandler Parsons ends up signing with Dallas. Mark Cuban preens about it like he just, you know, kicked kicked Houston in the groin. That adds to it, too. It was Mark Cuban as the annoying 50-year-old dude in a nightclub.
Yes.
The night they signed Chandler Parsons, kind of just gloating over how he was stealing something that Houston loved and bringing it into Dallas.
He was like a douchey version of Emperor Palpatine luring Anakin in to become Darth Vader. You know,
yes,
like
I totally understand that reference.
He lured him
sure.
in. Trust me, you yes. Star Wars nerds know exactly what I'm talking about.
Okay,
he was
yeah.
a Mark Cuban was a chotch Palpatine, is what he was. And they're doing their little shots of kamikazes at some club in yeah. Dallas, gloating about getting Chandler Parsons. No, so then Chandler goes to Dallas for 2 years, makes about $30 million over 2 years, averages 16 and 14 points a game. So the production's starting to go down. The number of games he plays starts to go down, 66 and 61 games. Then he goes to Memphis, and he gets paid more money than he's ever made in his whole life. He signs a nearly $100 million deal with the Memphis Grizzlies for 4 years, and he never averaged more than 8 points a game. He never played more than 36 games in a season, and he bottomed out in Atlanta, playing out the last year of that deal in Atlanta, playing 5 games and averaging less than 3 points a game. It's incredible. The more money Chandler Parsons got paid, the worse and more injured he got at basketball.
And the one place that remembers him fondly as a basketball player also remembers him as the one guy who just publicly took a brazen shot at the city of Houston itself. Not just at the Rockets, but at the city of Houston itself. And by the way, when he was doing that interview, oh, classic Chandler Parsons just attitude. He's like, he's annoyed, like looking at his phone, looking at like doing something on his phone while he's talking to this guy and just dismissively insulting the entire city of Houston and the people in it. Let's say he was talking about the people that are dirty. This is this is somebody from Florida saying that.
It's
Florida.
Right. He's from Florida. It's too bad. My one experience with Chandler Parsons, personal experience with Chandler Parsons, my son Sammy and I, we went to the Final Four up in Dallas.
Yeah.
And we actually, you know, our friend Wallace Marsh, we all flew up with Wallace on Wallace's plane, and Chandler was on there. And Chandler and Sammy the whole time on the plane were just chit-chat, and Chandler could not have been nicer to Sammy.
I don't need to hear this.
No, I'm just telling you that we'll just replay the audio in 2 seconds again. The hate will get started. I'm pointing out, especially if Wallace is listening, I got to point out the other, you know, if I'm going to point out the denominator, I got to point out the numerator.
You guys took off, did he say, ugh, glad to be free of
city. You want to hear a funny story? No, he did not say that. This is a funny story. He took a picture. Dwight Howard was on there, too. So we take a picture. I take a picture of Sammy with Dwight Howard and Chandler Parsons and one of Chandler's buddies. Chandler gets ready to post it on Instagram, and he's asking everybody on the plane what their Instagram tag is. And he gets to Sammy. He's like, Sammy, what's your Instagram? And Sammy's like, at the time, he's like 14 years old.
Yeah.
He was tiny Sammy back then. He's like, at Sam Pendergast, too. Like, he's like, holy crap, I'm going to get tagged on this. He gets tagged on it. Chandler literally says, we go viral in 3, 2, 1, and he hits send. 30 seconds later, Sammy's phone starts going bananas with people following him.
Oh, really?
People following him. People following him on Instagram. 5 minutes later, I get a text from his sister who texts me and says, you're on an airplane with famous people. Like, super jealous. She found out because she follows Chandler Parsons on Instagram.
That's
what she found.
Cool.
It was pretty fun.
All right.
So anyway, Seth, let's get
it.
Ben, play the audio so we can get hateful Seth back here.
It's cleaner here.
Is it?
It's much, you know, it's just like a nicer, cleaner city. In downtown, there's not much to do as far as those businesses. It's just kind of dirty.
Gotcha. Cool. Thanks
a lot. Dirty, not
that
much
last
to do.
Part? Look, frankly, you know, like the first part of what he said. Okay. Why did he have to go there? Why did he have to hit the dirty part? Because, like, though everybody knows Houston, downtown is not the centerpiece of Houston.
Right.
That's the whole difference. Like, so you could talk about, if you're comparing downtowns of various cities, then that doesn't tell the sum total of everything.
Yep.
So I feel like he cherry picked the exact, the part of Houston that was easiest to criticize. And then he had to go above and beyond and say that it was a dirty city. Let me ask you this, Sean.
Yeah.
Was it hard for Wallace to have to kick off the teenage girls from the plane before you guys took off? Between Dwight and Chandler? Were you like, okay, can you girls prove to me that you're 18 at least?
There was security detail. They cut it off at the choke point, the parking lot. That's what we did. Yeah. No, it was he was really nice. He was
nice to have that many high schools represented on a trip on the
Okay. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. More former Texan shade. Charles Emanuel had some things to say about the Texans. We'll compare and contrast to some of the other greatest hits that former Texans have laid down this season on the anthology of the 2021 Texans. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
Yeah, y'all are funny. The Chandler Parsons texts are great. We'll get to those in a second. Charles Emanuel, somebody else who is burning a bridge on the way out by saying mean things about his former employer. Chandler had said some things about Houston a while back, the city. But Charles Emanuel, yesterday in a press conference for the divisional round game this coming weekend against the Green Bay Packers, was asked to compare his time with the 49ers so far. He went there midway through the season to his time here in Houston. Here's what he had to say.
A lot more structure. The leadership between the coach and the GM, it doesn't seem like it's a power struggle. It's very like they're on the same page. They have an understanding of what they want. They make it very clear of what they want from GM to head coach, from head coach to the position coaches. And it's not a circus show here. You guys definitely have things down packed, and you know what you want at the players. The coaches know the expectations, and it's sought out and said. And it's not a lot of switching guys from being a starter, not being a starter. Like, I mean, you understand what you're doing here, and you just get it done.
Okay, so Seth, if I'm a Texan fan, look, this is the latest in a line of players who've left the team and had things to say on the way out the door, but specific to that 40 seconds of audio we just played, if I'm a Texan fan, how am I supposed to feel hearing that from disgruntled former employee Charles Emanuel?
I think, honestly, I don't think this is something where you need to take sides, because Emanuel was here for all of the dysfunction. From 2019, he's drafted in 2019. Within a couple of months, this is the thing. Imagine you're a rookie coming into the NFL. The GM that drafted you gets fired out of nowhere in July, which never happens. But you're a young rookie. You don't know any better. You don't know what does and doesn't happen. And then your team goes out and tries to hire another GM, and they get a slap on the wrist for it. And then you operate without a GM for a couple years. You get to watch Bill O'Brien and all of his crazy mood swings, and then get fired four games into a season, have an interim GM who is wholly unqualified for the position, not to mention while there's exposés being written about the team, Deshaun Watson ends up being accused by 24 different women of sexual assault. It's been nothing but an absolute circus since Charles Emanuel got to the Texans.
Yeah.
Like, almost from the day he would have stepped off a plane into Bush or Hobby, it's been nothing but a circus. So I think that's understandable. Like, I don't think you can deny that. The difference would be, okay, how much of this year for Charles Omenihue was what he's when he's talking about the Texans in general, you know, and he's talking about the GM and the head coach being on a different agenda. Well, he could have been talking about Brian Gain and Bill O'Brien. He could have been talking about Bill O'Brien and William O'Brien. He could have been talking about David Culley and Nick Caserio. I don't know, other than that, like, both sides could have done things that, that weren't ideal.
You know what's interesting about this is that the 49ers have been, well, I was going to say they've been one of the better teams. They really haven't been one of the better teams since Kyle Shanahan got there. They've been to a Super Bowl, but this is the first time that Kyle Shanahan's been back to the only time Kyle Shanahan's been to the postseason other than that Super Bowl year. So they've been a good team. I'm not going to sit here and say, and they have been a well-run franchise that's probably been bit by injuries more than others, and they need an elite quarterback that would help, all that stuff. But if you go back to the hiring of Shanahan and John Lynch, prior to that, it was a circus in San Francisco for 2 years.
Yeah.
They fired Jim Harbaugh, they hired Jim Tomsula, and then they fired Jim Tomsula and hired Chip Kelly. And then they fire Chip Kelly, and then they finally get it right with Shanahan. So I guess my point with that is this is a really important head coaching hire for the Houston Texans.
I think
Omenihue, his comments highlight the importance of this head coaching hire.
I'm glad you brought up that example of the San Francisco 49ers, because that is probably when earlier you asked, okay, what is a coach going to say? A potential coach going to say to Caserio, you know, is he going to ask him, like, hey, you guys have had X number of coaches here. If we count Romeo Crennel, 4 coaches in the last 4 years. I'll be the fourth coach in 4 years. Yep. You know, why should I believe that there should be any stability? That's probably the best answer. It's like, okay, look at San Francisco. They just kept hiring guys until they got it right. Jim Tomsula and David Culley feel very similar. Now, Tomsula was an in-house hire, but he was a guy that nobody had ever thought of as a head coach before, but he was super positive. Everybody loved him. All of those things, it felt a lot like maybe what the Texans were doing with David Culley this year, just trying to figure out, like, all right, we got to figure out somebody to keep the ship afloat while all this other stuff gets sorted out. David Culley did say one thing. He said a few things here and there that kind of got lost in the shuffle because of all the other issues. Every now and then, he would kind of drop like a little bit of like country wisdom, just like some like plain folks. I'm 67 years old. This is what I've learned in life. And I can't even remember what the question was, but he basically just very plainly said, you know, when asked about changes that had to be made or things that were wrong with the organization, he said, well, I knew when I came in here that there were things that were going to have to be fixed. Every single head coach gets hired because there are things that need to get fixed.
Yes.
And I think that's where Nick Caserio was when he came in. There were things that needed to get fixed. There are still things that need to get fixed. But I just have a hard time thinking that Omenihue, who left Houston, went and played in 25% of the snaps while he was there in San Francisco. He had a good game this last game, but it's not like he was like knocking on the door of Canton or anything.
No.
Like, okay, he might have very well been one of the guys that Caserio felt like, all right, you know what? This isn't the right guy for us. We're gonna cycle him out of here. And yeah, of course, Omenihue is going to be disgruntled over that.
Omenihue benefited from being one of the few guys on the roster who maybe flashed some potential time to time. Like, if Omenihue were making his comments after being let go by an actual good NFL football team, he would sound like the biggest moron in the league. Like, oh, they're jerking you back and forth out of the starting lineup. Like, dude, you were a fifth-round pick who flashed at times. Like, that's what happens to guys like you. You're starting it. Him being third on the depth chart behind two Whitney Mercilus and one other guy in the preseason, okay. I was a little taken aback by that at the time, but his overall experience of being pulled in and out of the starting lineup, like, hey, man, that's how it goes in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, Shaq Lawson was traded for, given a restructured contract,
yes,
and then cut. Yeah. I mean, that's life on a team that's, frankly, you're not on a good football team.
Yeah.
What does happen too is, look, the Texans have been a circus for the last 2 years, 2.5 years.
Yeah, you laid it out perfectly.
It's been headline after headline after headline. Yeah. Because of that, every single one of these guys, I think they get asked that specific question of, hey, what's it like there in Houston compared to here? And whether it's Randall Cobb, Whitney Mercilus, Charles Omenihue, or what have you, I think they're being asked that question more often, but that they also do, like, they would accurately, I think every fan listening right now, even if they think that Caserio and Easterby and Cale McNair hung the moon, would agree that it's been somewhat
it's been
of a
chaos.
Circus.
It's been chaos. Yeah, it has.
Since 2019.
Here was Randall Cobb earlier in the year when he was traded, during the preseason when he was traded back to Green Bay.
I can breathe again. You know, I've seen the other side. And I'm excited to be back here, and I'm excited. I'm smiling. It's funny. My teammates said, "You act like you just got out of prison." I said, "Well, you know."
Okay, so there was that. And then there was Whitney Mercilus when he was released by the Texans midway through the season, signs with Green Bay.
How much game do you feel like you have left?
I feel like I got a lot, man. Felt great out there today. And it's just, yeah, it feels like revitalized. The youngness in me is back, you know, because, yeah, your new environment. You feel the vibe of the team. It's not heavy. It's not a heavy cloud or anything like that.
Does that come from going from, like, from a team that maybe isn't going that same direction to now you are on a contender?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That definitely contributes to it. But also the mentality as far as, like, from top down, from, I'm talking about tippity top all the way down, everybody's on the same page. You know, they invest into their players, into people. When you've got a mentality like that, then you just know you're being appreciated and they're doing everything to invest into you and you want to invest back into that. So it's, yeah, like, to experience something like that is awesome.
I guess $13 million a year wasn't enough appreciation, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I the other thing about sound bites like this is that I think, like, I can only think just from myself answering questions sometimes, you kind of veer off into something where you're not even actually answering the original question. It sounded like he did start off talking about the differences there, but then I think some of it just turned into him kissing up to his new organization.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, the biggest thing that you know, a lot of people realized at the time when Whitney gave this was, I was thinking less about the Texans and more about how Whitney obviously hadn't been paying attention to the news that summer. Because to say that the Green Bay front office was on the same page with everybody else in the organization was, like, in direct odds with everything we'd seen on every sports headline, like, every day of the summer when Aaron Rodgers despised the front office.
Do you think if they were streaming that press conference live in the locker room and the players just hanging out playing cards or whatever, do you think Aaron Rodgers sitting there playing cards, like, looks up at Whitney just said and just puts his cards down and said, "Guys, I'll be right back," and he goes and waits for Whitney outside the media room? And then, like, pulls him aside by the elbow, like, "Bro, you are so inaccurate with your take on this organization right here." All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday, 713-572-4610. We've talked a lot about the Texans and who's on the list that they might hire. There have been no jobs filled yet. But let's take a look ahead. Early 2022 NFL hot seats and quarterback positions as well. That's next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout.
15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
You know, Seth, I was as I was watching the Baker Mayfield Twitter feed yesterday where he was talking about his successful surgery and we're going to get after this rehab. I guess he's going to be out four to six months. He'll be ready for training camp as a report. I started thinking about, okay, Baker Mayfield, we always talk about hot seats with coaches and we're going to here in just a second, but like Baker Mayfield's on a hot seat for a quarterback. And I think like Kyler Murray after that playoff performance is, I'm not going to say he's on a hot seat like the Cardinals are going to cut him after next season or anything, but he's another guy who after 3 years could now get a big deal. And if he had finished the season strong, is probably getting that next big contract. Now, I don't think he's going to. And I think you look at the coaches, there are three or four like coach quarterback combos that are going to be going into next season like with super hot seats on both of them. Like training camp in these four places are going to be really interesting to varying degrees. I think the two that I named right there are going to be the most interesting. I think they're really interesting too, that now that I look at it, like Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray, both former number one overall pick Heisman Trophy winners from Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma. Like there's some similarities in pedigree there. But I think if you look at early hot seats for 2022, we haven't even filled any of the spots in 2021 yet, but this just got me thinking. Cliff Kingsbury, Kevin Stefanski, to me, and their quarterbacks, like collectively, go into next season with the hottest seats. I think they're going to keep their jobs this offseason, both those coaches, but I think Kingsbury and Stefanski are going to be two guys that train from jump at training camp are going to be under scrutiny for the job they do this year as coaches.
I think that Stefanski, I think, is relatively safe in the scapegoat. Well, I shouldn't say scapegoat. The person that's going to get the blame would be Mayfield if it doesn't work out. I think there are probably a lot of people in Cleveland who think, okay, I'd love to see what Stefanski can do with a genuine bona fide candidate or quarterback. Now, it's hard because with quarterbacks, there's going to be people that support the quarterback no matter what. And that it's always going to be the coach's fault that the quarterback doesn't work out. But I think they've done well. They've done well even when Baker Mayfield was performing just mediocre. They were still winning football games.
Yeah.
So I think that's a check in favor of Stefanski.
Yeah, that's what I wonder. I wonder if Baker Mayfield goes back and has a season next year like he did this year, underperforming,
yeah,
if Stefanski catches the blame, because it's not like he's a defensive coach who hired an offensive coordinator. Like, he's a guy who's off of the Kubiak tree, who was supposed to bring in this system that was going to see Baker Mayfield. In a perfect world, Baker Mayfield was supposed to blossom in this system of Stefanski's. But of those two quarterbacks, Mayfield and Murray, you're right. Mayfield is the bigger lightning rod of those two right now. There's no question about it. Like, Kingsbury will be the fall guy in Arizona if it happens.
No, and I think that's the thing, is that the offense has performed well at times despite Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
I mean, there's times where...
Yes, the running game.
Yeah, like last year they had a solid offense, but it was one that didn't really feature the quarterback at all. So this year I think you could say that, okay, they could have been the same except that Baker Mayfield dragged them down that much further.
Right. So Kingsbury and Murray, Stefanski and Mayfield. The other two that I had just as sort of coach quarterback combos, you tell me the level of heat on these guys. I've got six coaches that go into next season already on the hot seat. Frank Reich and Carson Wentz. How hot are the seats on those two?
I don't think Frank Reich's seat is all that hot.
I don't either.
I think that he's...
I say I don't either. I've got him on my list of hot seats. But of the two, Wentz's seat is much hotter than Frank Reich's.
The only thing I would say is if he were on the hot seat, if he pulled some kind of a loyalty game with Carson Wentz. Because I'm guessing it was with huge endorsements from Frank Reich that they decided to trade away what became a first-round pick to bring Carson Wentz in and be the guy for a year. When he, you know, kind of like Baker Mayfield, like it was a limiting factor. Like you had a guy this year in Carson Wentz who was doing enough, but he certainly wasn't the guy who was winning football games for you. He was the driving force behind them. And then you could also see in very specific moments where he just came up very, very small in big moments.
Dan Campbell and Jared Goff.
Goff's on permanent, like, replaceable status.
Yeah, I think as soon as they find the next guy, Goff is gone. What about Campbell?
Campbell, all right. People brought this up, like, okay, Campbell and Cully, how come Campbell seems to get credit for somehow changing the culture or, like, having these fighting efforts where they ended up having a worse record than the Texans? I think that there's some truth to that question, I suppose, other than that Campbell is, like, Campbell very much seems to be, like, a driving force of personality and the character of the team seems to rally around Dan Campbell, but that's pretty flimsy at the end of the day. Like, that's all stuff that sounds good for a year or so, but if they don't show actual significant improvements next year, then I'd say Campbell's on a – I think he's on a two-year shelf life, but I'd be surprised if it happened during the season.
Okay, so the other two that I have – so Kingsbury, Stefanski, hot seats. Campbell, we'll see. Reich, I'm with you. His seat probably not as hot. Quarterback, probably a hotter seat for him. The other two, Matt Rhule has got to be on a scalding hot seat heading into next year in Carolina. Does he not?
Except that he's got this huge, huge contract.
Yeah, but Dave Tepper is like a hedge fund billionaire.
I know he is. I know. But that's still like you can get to be a billionaire without watching your pennies, but it's hard to stay a billionaire. Without watching your pennies.
True.
So I think that they don't like just throwing money away like it's nothing at all. So he still has the protection of that contract. What's this going to be, his third year?
Third year. Signed a 7-year, $60 million deal.
Brian Flores got fired partly because he kept firing his offensive coordinators.
Right.
If Tepper, the hedge fund analyst, starts plugging in the data and saying what we need to do is copy the Miami Dolphins, then I'd say Matt Rhule is one offensive coordinator away from
getting to 9-8.
Yeah. My biggest question would be just how much of the trade and the committing of the fifth-year option to Sam Darnold was endorsed or pushed for by Rhule versus the GM. Because that's right. If I were an owner, like, let me allow myself to be one of these depraved NFL billionaire owners for a moment.
Okay.
And think about, like, okay, I sat there and listened to my football people who know football. I'm not a football guy. I'm just a math genius. I don't understand the X's and O's. I'm just some 200 IQ dude over here.
Mm-hmm.
They stood in a room and told me why we had to go out and get Sam Darnold and why he was the guy and that Joe Brady was going to fix Sam Darnold and show a transformation the likes of which the world had never seen. I'm going to have that guy in a short leash.
Yeah.
I'm going to have that guy in a real short leash. So, yes, I say Matt Rhule's. I think Matt Rhule's gone by, I think he's going to go in and say they need to fire the offensive coordinator in November of next year, and then he's going to get fired because of it.
Is that why Pep Hamilton's not interviewing with them? Did you see that report that Pep Hamilton's not interviewing with Carolina?
I wonder if he does look at that as potentially a sinking ship. I don't know. I don't know why he would why would he turn down the interview for a – it would be a step up from quarterbacks coach to offensive coordinator. They don't have a maybe it just doesn't feel like – are they going to stick with – they're not sticking with Darnold.
Well, they're paying him.
They're
paying him $18 million next or $20 million
or whatever. That decision was already made a year ago.
I get it. I mean, look, the elephant in the room is, do they trade for Deshaun Watson? Like, that's the game changer for everybody. Like, if they trade for Deshaun Watson, then there would be guys climbing over each other to be the offensive coordinator there.
Pep Hamilton turning down the interview is an interesting one.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would be a promotion – And it's got to be a lack of faith in either their ability to get a quarterback or in Matt Rhule himself, I would imagine.
Or a belief that maybe he becomes the OC here.
Yeah, that might have been dangled out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it all depends on, And what's this kid, a senior in high school this year?
No, I think he's younger than that. I think he's an underclassman right now.
He throws like he's a junior in college.
He's incredible. If you guys missed it, he was out at training camp slinging it around. And we were doing like a round table there underneath the tent on like a Saturday evening.
Yeah.
It was the evening practice on Saturday, and Landry's like, who is that kid slinging it over there? Man, that kid should be the one who's competing. And it was Pep Hamilton.
He's better than Driscoll.
15-year-old, he was definitely better than Driscoll. Like Pep
Jeff
Hamilton's
Driscoll, give me a break.
15-year-old son or whatever he is. Yeah, that was wild. That was wild.
Didn't what was McClain laughing about there when I asked him if Jeff Driscoll would ever play a snap on special teams?
Yeah, something like that.
And
like,
he did play on special teams.
He did. No, I think we may have asked him if he'd see the field as a tight end.
As a tight end, that's right, as a tight end.
As a tight end,
Yeah, so that is, by the way, like I always talk about how, like, I don't understand why people have all this sympathy for head coaches when they get fired. That part's true. Because they're getting paid $6 million a year and it's all guaranteed. Unlike a lot of the players that those guys themselves cut, they keep getting paid for years after they get fired. I will say for the assistant coaches, I feel bad for the assistant coaches.
I do too.
Because it's not nearly as lucrative. And this goes for the head coaches too. Players typically aren't at an age where they've got teenage kids, you know, and you're kind of, as a coach, you've pulled your family and your kids out of school multiple times already. So it is it's a different deal than a player, but still.
Mike McCarthy is the last one. Do we ever believe that Mike, how many years does it take for your seat to heat up in Dallas?
You know, I have a lot of playful fun with Cowboys fans, and I always assume, like, okay, I don't think they're genuinely as stupid as we claim they are. But then, I don't know, I have my doubts, because I saw these Cowboys fans acting like there was any chance in hell that Mike McCarthy was going to get fired after a year.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me a lot of these people really are that stupid.
Yeah.
Like, they're that dumb. And I don't even know how they understand enough how to work the remote control on their televisions or purchase tickets on the internet to go to a game. How on earth did you think that Jerry Jones was going to fire his head coach just because they had a disappointing playoff game? Like, you'd never watch the entire Jason Garrett era or any of that. Like, what the hell were you even paying attention to the last 20 years?
Did you see Mike McCarthy's admission at his press conference yesterday that the team, well, I'll just read the quote. I thought we were nervous. This is talking about the game against the 49ers on Sunday. I thought we were nervous to start the game. I felt it in the locker room at the team prayer. Let me take the word nervous back. It was a little angst. I just think it was the first time we were doing this as a whole. So he basically said that the team was, you know, that there was certainly a stress level in that room. Juxtapose that to the video that they should. Do you see the video of the Niners coming out of the locker room to go to the field?
No, they look like they're on their way to
an
execution.
They had one of the, I don't know who it was, one of the assistants or somebody, with a gigantic boombox on his shoulder walking next to the, you know, the aisleway, and the players were all like, just juking along to whatever was coming out of the jam box there. They did not have a care in the world. At least outwardly, it appeared that way.
The problem with McCarthy is just the sloppiness of his football team.
Yeah.
The idiotic mental errors that they made multiple times. The so-called execution error where when they called that QB run with 14 seconds left, it was already lost. That play was all but lost. He's talking about probability of plays and everything. He ran a play that takes 17 seconds to run, and he did it with 14 seconds left on the clock. Should have been as simple as that. Plus, if you practice that play, and you shouldn't run it unless you've practiced it in a clock situation like that, your center and quarterback should know that they have to hand the ball to the umpire. The umpire or an official
has to spot
the ball. They didn't know it. Like, and it was just, it was play after play of idiotic decisions, and it's the same stuff that you saw up in Green Bay for the last two mediocre years that Aaron Rodgers had before LaFleur showed up. That was exactly what the Packers looked like. He's not a good head coach. He was lucky enough to have Aaron Rodgers, and now he's lucky enough to have a really good roster that Jerry and Stephen Jones put together for him, but he's not a good head coach.
Okay, I'm glad you brought up that play. I went and watched the call, Romo's call. You brought up Romo's call of that play a couple times in the aftermath.
Yeah, because he flip-flopped like he does.
He did. I've got the audio of it here, but he brought up right before the snap something that the Cowboys should have been looking at doing mm-hmm. that we have not brought up. And maybe we did indirectly, but here, Ben, let's cue this up, and I'll hit you when to pause because there's a couple things I want to play in this. But here was Jim Nance and Tony Romo as the Cowboys are getting up to the line of scrimmage. 14 seconds left, San Francisco 41-yard line. San Francisco in a defense that's clearly kind of trying to keep guys in bounds at that point.
Think about how much time. That's an extra. I mean, they can't get more than four plays if they kept him in bounds.
Well, you keep him in bounds now.
The game's over. They keep him in bounds. Dak has to get this out of bounds or he's taking a shot to the end zone. This is scary because I would take a shot to the end zone here when they're in the sideline defense because you actually can hold on to the ball.
Pause it right there. Romo talking about I would actually take a shot at the end zone here with 14. My feeling the whole time was take two shots at the end zone. Don't do what they did and get cute. Try to get it closer than that. Was the defense that the 49ers were in at that point something? Romo made it sound like that was something more conducive maybe to taking a shot at the end zone because they were more focused. This is just Joe Fan talking, Seth. He made it sound like they were so focused on the boundary, why not take a shot at the end zone?
Well, no, I think he was saying take it right. So take a shot at the end zone instead of trying to get out of bounds. It wasn't like before that the Niners had been letting them basically catch these balls and go out of bounds.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, your only options really at that point, because there's 14 seconds left, and this is something that everybody, offense, defense, knows, that it takes 16 seconds pretty much. You got to account for 16 seconds to run a play, get up, and spike the ball or run another play. So at 14 seconds, it's not really anywhere in Romo's mind that you'd be running a play in the center of the field, including throwing into the center of the field.
Right.
Because you're going to get tackled,
yep.
And then time's going to be out. So, yes, it's either the end zone or bust in Romo's mind.
So he's talking end zone there. Now here's what happens when the ball gets snapped.
This is scary because I would take a shot to the end zone here when they're in the sideline defense because you actually can hold on to the ball. You need someone, San Francisco, to get to the quarterback here.
Prescott takes off running the football. Whoa, I don't think this is going to work out.
It will. They'll be able to clock this. They were planned for it. It's down. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, the official gets in the way. The game's over.
Gosh.
The game is over.
Oh, he did.
All right, so we know what happened.
It will. They planned for it. It will.
Calm as can be. They planned for this. No. Mike McCarthy planned for this, and that means it's going to go horribly wrong.
Romo sounded so confident, like, "Oh no, it will, Jim. Don't worry about it, you simple
don't,
fool.
Don't worry about it.
It's this is Mike McCarthy. Planned for this. Yeah,
Mike McCarthy is the dude that would listen to his GPS telling him to turn right if there was a lake to the right of him, like Michael Scott in that one episode. No, the GPS is telling me to turn right, Michael. It's a lake. I know, but it's saying to turn right. Drive right into the drink."
Romo's interesting because he's wrong a lot when he says, like, he's wrong a lot. If you guys, next time you watch a Romo game, just really sit and pay attention to everything he says is about to happen and then how often he's dead wrong. And yet he recovers from it so seamlessly that for the most part, I think people don't notice. And he does, he points out a lot of other great things. I think he makes up for it. It's just odd, like, every time I still hear people talk about, like, he always knows what's coming. He calls it out every time.
Yep.
Like, how are you not noticing all the times he's dead wrong?
It's crazy. All right, the Texans have added another name to the head coaching search as of yesterday. What do the people think of Kevin O'Connell? I put it to the people. Where does he stack up popularity-wise amongst the five Texans head coaching candidates? That's next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.